Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Today marks the first Sunday of Advent, and throughout Advent this year, we're going to be asking the question that people have been asking for over 2,000 years when they think about Jesus. It's the question we just sang in a song a minute ago. What child is this? Or in the words of Jesus himself, who do you say I am? We say each week that our mission at New Denver is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. So for us as a community, continually asking the question, who is Jesus, is a really big deal. We need to know who Jesus is if we're going to grow in a relationship with him. And it makes sense that people have been wrestling with this question for thousands of years, given the fact that people were wrestling with this question even when Jesus was walking around right in front of them. Read through the Gospels, the four accounts of Jesus' life we have in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll see this is a driving question. Everyone is trying to figure out, who is this Jesus? What child is this? The first person to have to wrestle with this question was Jesus' mother, Mary. So today we're going to look at Luke 1, starting in verse 26. And Luke writes, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy..." Now, if you start at the beginning of Luke 1, you'll read about who Elizabeth is. She was a relative of Mary and was pregnant with John the Baptist. "God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' Then the angel left her." Can you imagine for a moment being in Mary's shoes? You're a regular Jewish girl, probably a teenager. You're living in a lowly village in the Roman Empire around the start of the first century. You're engaged to a man named Joseph. When all of a sudden, an angel appears to you, like the kind you've heard about in the Torah, a messenger from God has come from heaven to speak with you. He starts by greeting you and saying that you're highly favored and that the God of your ancestors, Yahweh, is with you. What was Mary's initial reaction to this situation? We read that she is greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She was caught off guard, confused, scared. The angel senses this and says next, "Do not be afraid, Mary," and then repeats, "You have found favor with God." He's comforting her, reassuring her. He knows her name. He's trying to put her at ease that he's there to deliver good news. He continues, "You will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." What child is this? This is the first glimpse we get. It's a boy, and his name will be Jesus. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment and say, this is a blessing. The fact that they were just given this baby name is a huge gift. If anyone has looked for thousands and thousands of baby names online trying to pick the perfect one, especially with a partner who has very different tastes in names than you, you'll know. God saved Mary and Joseph the hassle of their first big marital conflict and just picked out the name for them. That's my own personal commentary on this passage. What else do we learn about this child? He will be great. Listen up, Mary. This kid is important. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Most High is a name for God. What child is this? This baby will be called the Son of God? The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, the greatest king of Israel. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, forever. The angel is referencing back to Israel's glory days. He's throwing out big names that Mary would be familiar with, but from a time in history she had never experienced. All she had known was captivity, being a Jew oppressed by the Romans. She had heard stories of the patriarchs and the kings, but that wasn't the world she was growing up in. Your baby will be a king, but his kingdom will never end. It won't be conquered by a neighboring power or swallowed up in an expanding empire. Your baby's subjects will not be exiled or scattered. You're going to have a baby who will reign forever. What child is this? Who is this Jesus? Oh, and one kind of logistic question. Excuse me, angel, how will this be? Mary asked, since I am a virgin. She's engaged to Joseph, but they would not consummate their marriage until after the wedding. And Mary knows where babies come from, so all these things the angel is telling her sound really great, but there's just one problem. A virgin can't get pregnant or have a baby. The angel makes it really clear. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That's why this baby will be called the Son of God, because his biological father will literally be God. Joseph will raise him, but this baby is from God. His birth will be miraculous. This is a child unlike any other who has ever been born. Mary's got to have so many questions. Why me? Why this way? Tell me more about who this child will be. All she gets is a glimpse. A few nuggets to hold on to. She'll have to discover more along the way. But she responds in faith. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. I don't know how I would respond if an angel appeared to me with this news. I don't know how you would respond. But Mary is amazing. She responds with pure and simple trust. Okay, I don't get it. I'm not sure why this is happening here, now, to me. But yes, God, of course, your way. If only we would all respond to the words of God with that posture of the heart. During Mary's pregnancy, she gets another glimpse of who this child will be. Another little reassurance that she didn't just imagine her encounter with the angel, that she's not crazy. Luke goes on to tell us that Mary visits Elizabeth, and when she enters the house, baby John in Elizabeth's womb leaps, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." What a beautiful greeting, so clearly from God. Those reassuring words would have been like water to Mary's thirsty soul after what had to be some really hard conversations with family and friends, with Joseph trying to explain what had happened, probably with very few people believing her. With Elizabeth, Mary didn't have to explain how she was pregnant or who this child in her womb was. She didn't have to say a word. She just walked into the house and Elizabeth knew. What a gift that must have been to Mary. Somebody else gets it. God is speaking to them as he has spoken to her. Somebody else gets a glimpse of who this child will be. Mary's response in this exchange is recorded by Luke as a poem or song of praise that you may be familiar with as it's been remembered in church tradition as the Magnificat. Luke 1:46, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And then Luke tells us Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. How is Mary answering the question, what child is this? We learn a lot from her song. She has latched onto this idea that the baby in her womb is an everlasting king, a promise God made a long, long time ago that is coming to fulfillment. This baby will be a revolutionary, the Messiah, God's agent of change. Mary's view of God is as one who's tearing down oppressive systems and building a kingdom of justice. She remembers God's acts of deliverance in the stories of Israel's history, and you get the sense that she's seen this baby within her as the key to God's work in the world moving forward. She doesn't have all of the answers, but she has a glimpse. She sees Yahweh's faithfulness and how he's acted in the past, and she has a strong hope as she looks to the future. This is what Advent is all about. We look back to how we've seen God work so that we can look ahead with renewed hope that he's not done. We sit in the in-between of waiting and longing and anticipating all that is to come, much like Mary in these early days of pregnancy. She has not yet seen the fulfillment of these things, but she waits with hope and expectation, and so do we. Luke records the birth of Jesus with all the rich details so familiar to many of us. Caesar Augustus issues a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Everyone must travel to their ancestral hometown in order to register, which for Joseph and a very pregnant Mary meant traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the town of David, because Joseph belonged to the house and line of David. I love how the Advent storybook by Laura Ritchie captures the scene. It's the most historically accurate depiction I've found in a children's book, and I appreciate that. Paraphrasing from Luke's account, she writes, "When it was almost time for Jesus to be born, Joseph and Mary had to travel to Joseph's hometown, Bethlehem. It was a long journey, so they stayed with relatives. At this time, the houses of common people had only one room, and their animals would come inside at night to keep the house warm. Some houses had extra room for guests, but the house of Joseph's relatives was already full. So Mary and Joseph stayed in the same room as their hosts and the animals. And in that home, Jesus was born. The son that God had promised so long ago, the rescuer, the forever king, was born in the house of common, poor people. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths like any other baby, and he was placed in the animal's manger, their feeding box, to sleep. That same night, some shepherds were outside watching their sheep. Shepherds were poor and unschooled. Many people didn't like them. But God sent a very important message to these not-so-important people. God's angel came to the shepherds and said, 'I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.' Suddenly a great number of angels appeared. Their glory and light filled the dark night. They were all praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' The son that God had promised long ago was finally here. The shepherds were afraid, but they listened to the angel and found Jesus, a baby born in a common house and wrapped in common cloth. And they knew that God had sent this rescuer for them too. The shepherds praised God. The shepherds told Mary what the angels had said. Mary looked at her tiny son. Someday, he would bring peace to this broken world and rescue us all." And then Luke tells us Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What child is this? That's a pretty loaded question. Jesus is a lot of things. A poor Jewish baby, the promised Messiah, a savior, a king, the Son of God, and so much more. What we believe about Jesus is really, really important. 2,000 years ago, Jesus asked his closest followers a question that I think he wants to ask all of us as well. Who do you say I am? If you've never thought about this question, now is the time. This Advent season is the time to read through the Gospels, start with Luke, and figure out for yourself who Jesus is. Or maybe you've known Jesus a long time. You believe he's God, but you've stopped believing in his power. That he wants to speak, that he wants to work in your life, that he wants to change you and make you more like him. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had spent their whole lives studying the scripture and waiting for the Messiah, totally missed him when he came. That should challenge us. Where are we missing the work of God that's right in front of our face? What might God want to be saying to you today or showing you through his word that you need to pay attention to? The incarnation of Jesus proves to us that God is powerful and active in our world and that he cares. The creator of the universe, the author of the story, enters the pages of history as a humble baby who came to save. God doesn't leave his people without hope. Where do you need to believe this more today? Who do you say I am? We're going to take some time to reflect on this question. Host team is going to pass out papers and we'll listen to some music. And we'll take the next 5 minutes to quietly reflect and pray. You can talk to God silently or you can grab a pen and jot down some of your thoughts. The questions are also posted on our website at newdenver.org/advent. So if you're watching online or listening later, you can access them there. The next 5 minutes are yours. I hope you'll keep reflecting on these questions and let them be a springboard just for your prayer life this week. I hope you'll continue to talk with the Lord about who he is, how maybe your picture of him might be too small. I hope that you really engage bringing to him the things that are making you weary. And hopefully receiving something from him in that. And I hope you can also look to the past and see God's faithfulness in the world and in the stories we have in Scripture, even in your own life, and that will give you hope as you look towards the future. I love Christmas time. I love all the fun and the merriment and the hustle and bustle and fast pace. And I love Advent because it's almost the opposite. It's slowing down, it's reflecting, it's saying, all is not right with the world right now, God. We love that Jesus came, but our ultimate hope is that he's coming back. He's not done. And we live in this in-between, so I hope you will engage Advent this year, and I hope part of that is you coming back and doing this sermon series with us. We know there's so much that can be said about who Jesus is, and we won't attempt to cover it all. What we hope to do is to talk about Jesus through a few different lenses, to give you some pictures of him that maybe don't automatically jump to your mind when you think about who Jesus is. And we hope to create space for you to continue to reflect on this question and ask yourself, what child is this? Pray with me. God, we thank you for today. We thank you that when we come, we're not coming just to gather with other humans, but that you're here, God. You are here and you are speaking. You love us, you care, you see the weariness that we carry and the parts of life that feel heavy and feel dark. In Advent, we bring those to you, God. We ask for your light to shine in these places in our lives, in the lives of those around us who are hurting, and in this world as we look out and see all the injustice that has yet to be made right. God, we long for you to return, and we pray for your comfort now in the waiting. Help us to remember who Jesus is, what we know about him through Scripture, and let that give us great hope. Help us to grow in our relationship with you this Advent season. Amen. Let's sing one last song.